Good evening, everyone. We'll make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together the hymn number 211 in our own hymn books, the first hymn just in the wee hymn sheet. It's a great hymn of testimony and of praise regarding what Christ has done for us as Saviour. The hymn writer says, "There is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. It fills my heart with hope and cheer. 'Tis old yet ever new. 'Tis old yet ever new. I know, I'm sure. 'Tis true." And praise God for that message that is indeed old yet ever new, that message of the cross that Jesus saves even unto life eternal. We'll keep our seats while we sing, singing it out with all of our hearts and souls this evening. Seek the Lord and look to the Lord for his help and blessing and presence with us this evening. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we gather, O God, before thee this night, and we come to thee in and through the worthy and the precious and all-prevailing name of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the Lamb for sinners slain. And Father, we thank thee for the message of the gospel tonight, that Christ came into this world and that he bore our sin in his own body to the tree. He bore the penalty, the wrath, the judgment of hell upon himself that we deserve for our sins. Indeed, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, O God, for our iniquities. The Bible tells us that he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that with his stripes we are healed. We rejoice, O God, tonight, O God, as thy people, in the saving mercy of our God toward us. We rejoice, O God, tonight through Christ as our Redeemer. We have the forgiveness of all of our sins. We thank Thee, O God, that our sins of many have been cast away, O God, into the sea of Thy forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. And we thank Thee, O God, that Christ has died, that He has risen again, He is exalted on high. And Father, we thank Thee that in heaven's glory at Thy right hand, He ever lives to plead for the people of God. And Father, we thank Thee we can come to Thee tonight through Christ our Redeemer, pleading the merits of Christ, the merits of His atoning sacrifice, His perfect work for us upon the cross. And Father, we thank Thee that when we come to Thee through Christ, we're not coming to a throne of judgment or to a throne of wrath, but, O God, we're coming tonight to a throne of grace and to a throne of mercy. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou art a God who is full of mercy. And Father, we come to Thee tonight like children to a father, and we look to Thee, O God, in faith, that Thou would just bless our coming together here this evening, that we might know, O God, a very gracious, a conscious sense of the presence of the Lord. O God, we realize it is Thy presence that makes the feast. We do cleanse our hearts afresh in the Savior's blood. And O God, outpour Thy Holy Spirit upon us tonight and upon our hearts and upon our souls. And Lord, as we wait in this fashion tonight around Thy word and around the throne of grace and prayer, grant us, O God, a season of refreshing, a season of reviving, even from the right hand of our God. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou art the God of revival. And Thou said in Thy word, Lord, Thou hast promised. Thou said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And, O God, we must confess that our hearts are thirsty for the blessing of God. We must confess, O God, that our hearts are barren and dry. And, Lord, as the hermiter says, barren and dry they will remain until we are blessed with that fire from on high, and that sound of abundance of rain. And Lord, we're looking to Thee tonight in faith as Thy people, that Thou wilt grant us those showers of blessing from the throne of God. O Lord, we thank Thee for all who have been able to come tonight. Bless every head bowed before Thee. Bless every family and household, O God, that is represented. Meet the need of every heart, of every life. Encourage Thy people. Strengthen us in our most holy faith. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of Thy might. Do draw us closer, Lord, to Thee. Help us to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ, and that by our life and by our testimony, we might be that signpost of pointing others to the Lord. Remember, Lord, those that cannot be with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. The Lord bless them and encourage them and strengthen them. Others who may be shielding and isolating, watch over them and bless them and protect them. And Lord, remember others that have suffered loss in recent times. Lord, comfort their hearts, we pray, and strengthen them by the mighty hand of the Lord. Again, Lord, we do pray for Thy blessing upon the seed sown tonight in the Tresna Children's Meeting. We thank Thee for every boy and girl in under the sound of Your word. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt speak on to these young lives. Remember also, Lord, those homes yesterday that received Thy word, O God. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt cause them to read the printed word, and that, Lord, Thou said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that there would be those, O God, who would be indeed made wise unto salvation, we ask. Bless our land tonight, O God, and all of its need. Remember us, O God, in mercy. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt stem the tide of ungodliness and, Lord, false religion, and grant, Lord, that there would be a turning in the hearts of many to the Lord and to the gospel and to Thy word and to Thy truth in these days, we pray. So, Father, abide with us, Lord, in all that is said and done tonight. Glorify the Savior. Bless us around Thy word. May Thy word be a blessing and an encouragement to our souls tonight. Bless us at the time of prayer. Give us help, Lord. Give us liberty and power and grace and enablement to pray, to lay hold upon Thee, O God, with the hand of faith. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou art one who hears and that thou art one who answers prayer. Bless us now, we pray, and do every waiting soul good. Bless those who listen in online, whoever they are, wherever they might be. May they know the blessing of the Lord our God to be upon them. This we pray and this we ask, and for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter number 37. Turning to Ezekiel chapter number 37 and to the verse number 1 of that chapter. While you're looking that up, we welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us this evening. Pray the Lord will bless you and those listening in online as well, that you too will know the blessing of the Lord. Do remember, please, the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Friday night, the children's meeting here at 6:30. Then the youth fellowship at 8 p.m. And then the services on the Lord's Day, morning Sunday school, 11 a.m. in Bible class, morning worship, 12 noon. We belong to bring God's Word. And then do remember the special testimony meeting on the Lord's Day evening. Our brother, Mr. Colin McKee, will be with us from our Cumber Church. Do take the wee invites there on the table in the porch. Do encourage you to take those, give them out. Do all you can to invite friends and family and neighbors and maybe people you work with, whatever, in under the sound of God's Word. Do make that a special time of outreach and be much in prayer for it, and that the Lord will help our brother as he comes to share what the Lord has done for him and what the Lord means to him as his Savior. Ezekiel chapter 37 and the verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin has covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 14. And our prayer is that God will add his own blessing to this public reading of God's eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. Verse 1 of that chapter says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Now, two things that are required in God's work are prayer and dependence upon the Lord. Christ himself highlights that very fact in the Gospel of Luke when he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then also in the Gospel of John when he spoke to his disciples and he said to them, without me ye can do nothing. Recently I was reading about the labors of two faith mission pilgrims in the Scottish island of Tiree and the Outer Hebrides in the 1950s. Those pilgrims had labored for 7 weeks in a gospel mission. There was very little interest. Very few people were coming to the meetings. The meetings were very hard and very difficult. And really, outwardly, all looked very dark and discouraging and difficult. But after a time of earnest and protracted prayer, the Lord turned the tide. The tide turned and people started coming to the meetings. And throughout the remainder of that gospel campaign, there were many who yielded to Christ as Savior. Yes, those two ladies in their day and generation and their labors for the Lord, they saw the value and realized the importance of earnest prayer and dependence upon the Lord. And people, the way to blessing in God's work, it has not changed. Yes, there must be prayer. And there must be a leaning upon the Lord. And it is with this thought in mind that I want us then to consider this passage here of Scripture before us tonight here in Ezekiel chapter 37. If you read through the book of Ezekiel and study it, you'll see that it is a book really that is full of visions. God gives many visions to his servant Ezekiel in this book. And here in chapter 37 of the book, we have Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones. Verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And in this vision, we see how Ezekiel, he sees this valley and it is full of dry bones. That is the bones of those that have been slain. And we're told how in this vision he speaks God's word to these bones. And God causes these bones to live, we are told, as an exceeding great army. You see that in verse 10 of the chapter. He says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, this vision has a number of important lessons for us. Yes, it speaks historically of Israel's return to the land of their promise after their 70 years of captivity in the land of Babylon. It also speaks of the setting up of the state of Israel in the year 1947. It also speaks, yes, of future blessing to Israel. Many believe that to be at the very return of Christ himself. But the vision also highlights the Lord's blessing through the Holy Spirit upon his work here on earth, here in this scene of time. And it is in this manner that I want us then to consider Ezekiel's vision here of this valley of dry bones. Notice first of all with me here tonight the vision that Ezekiel saw. Verse 1 and verse 2 again says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Here were bones that were lying for a long time. They were dry, they were parched, they were white. And Ezekiel, he sees this valley here that was filled of dry bones of many dead people. And really the scene was one of total and utter hopelessness, really. You know, people, the hopelessness here of these dry bones, it reminds us of the hopeless condition of sinners before Almighty God. Turn with me over to the New Testament book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 2. And the first three verses of that chapter, Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3, Paul here is speaking, addressing the believers at Ephesus and reminding them of their hopeless condition before they were saved, and it is but the hopeless condition of all mankind described. He says in Ephesians 2, verse 1, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." That's how it was with these believers in Ephesus before they were saved, how it is with all mankind. We are dead, spiritually speaking, before God in trespasses and in sins. Verse 2, "For in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the children that now work, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And that really speaks of man, the sinner, being under the dominion of sin and Satan, if you like, the Satan's servant. That's how it is with all mankind and their sin before God, totally hopeless, under the dominion of sin. Verse 3, he says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature," notice it, "the children of wrath, even of others." And the sinner is one who is a child of wrath. He's under the sentence of God's judgment, under the sentence of God's wrath. Yes, as a sinner, man is one who is spiritually dead. He is under the dominion of sin and Satan. He is condemned to God's eternal wrath and hell because of his sin. Verse 12 there of Ephesians 2 describes the man, the sinner, we're told, as being without Christ. Notice it, having no hope and without God in this world. Totally hopeless in and of himself. Totally helpless, spiritually speaking, before God. And dear people, this is the spiritual condition of all mankind. Indeed, this is the spiritual condition of our unsaved family members. This is the spiritual condition of our friends, our neighbors, those that we work with who are still unsaved. They are spiritually dead. They are bound in sin and Satan. They're under the wrath of God. Yes, this is the spiritual condition of every sinner that is connected with this church here in Enniskillen. Such are lost in sin. Such are separated from God. Such are in the devil's domain, and such are bound for hell. People, that's a vision that you and I must keep before us. As Ezekiel looked upon this valley of dry bones, he saw a scene of utter hopelessness and helplessness. As you and I look out upon the world around us tonight and look at those who are unsaved, oh, let us see them as those that are totally hopeless and helpless before Almighty God. They are without hope, without God, without Christ in this world. The vision here that Ezekiel saw. Notice secondly here the command that was given to Ezekiel. Look at verses 4, 5, and 6 there of Ezekiel chapter 37. And here Ezekiel is speaking of what the Lord said unto him. And he said unto me, "Prophesy." That really meant to speak God's word. "Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear," notice it, "the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Here you see how God told Ezekiel to do something as he surveyed the scene of utter hopelessness and death and destitution around him. What was he to do? He was to preach. He was to preach God's word. God says there to him, "Prophesy unto these bones, hear the word of the Lord." He was given this call, this command to proclaim God's word to these people, these dry bones. And if he did, God promised to make these bones to live. That was the promise. And people, can I say, this is the command which the Lord gives also to his church and to his people today. Yes, God's remedy for the multitudes who are lost
and perishing in sin. What is that remedy? It's the preaching of God's word. It's the proclamation of the gospel of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Paul said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Romans 1 verse 16 tells us the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is God's remedy for the sinful state of all mankind, both Jew and Gentile. It's the preaching of God's word to their hearts, to their souls. Turn over with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And just look at what Paul says here to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 to 5 of the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse 2. Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then he goes on. This is the mighty apostle Paul. Look at what he says. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He knew himself. He was hopeless, helpless. He had no power of his own. But he says, and my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. He wasn't taken up with the wisdom and the philosophies of men. No, but he says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he's talking there about the power, the anointing of God, the Holy Ghost. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here we read, yes, of Paul's ministry to the Corinthians. And that ministry was Holy Ghost preaching. He didn't preach with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but he preached in the power and in the demonstration of God, the Holy Ghost. And people of God tonight, as we would think of the various ministries here of our church and our congregation, the Sunday school, the Bible class, the youth fellowship, the children's meetings, the Lord's Day services, the open-air ministry, the outreach, door-to-door ministry. Let us pray, people, let us pray earnestly that in all these efforts, God's word would be proclaimed and accompanied with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Let us pray to that end. The hymn writer says, Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power, that sinners be converted and thy name glorified. That's what we need to be praying for in these days in which we live. Brethren and sisters in Christ, may this be our prayer also for the various ministries that go out from this church week by week. You know, over in Genesis chapter 6 in the verse number 3, God makes a very solemn statement. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And that reminds us that God does speak and God does strive with sinners. But then there's a time comes when God stops speaking and God stops striving. And people, you and I, none of us know tonight, but perhaps this autumn season could be the last opportunity for sinners, sinners in our family, sinners in this church, this congregation, in this neighborhood, this could be their last opportunity to be saved. God, yes, may have spoken to them many times. He may have striven with them many times. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. How tragic that would be if he was to stop speaking, stop striving with such during this autumn season. People, therefore, let us be earnest and faithful in reaching the lost with the gospel and praying for their conversion, for their salvation to Christ. Notice finally here the miracle that Ezekiel witnessed. Look at verses 7 through to 10 of Ezekiel chapter 37. He says, so I prophesied, he obeyed the Lord as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind,
prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And that speaks of us, to us, of the breath of God, the Holy Ghost upon sinners. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Ezekiel obeyed the Lord. He preached God's word, and God blessed. And that took faith on Ezekiel's part. Remember, he was looking at a valley of dry bones, bones that had been lying for a long time that were dead, decayed, white, and parched. And humanly speaking, people have said, there's no hope of life in these bones. But you know, Ezekiel was a man of faith. He obeyed the Lord. He proclaimed God's word, and God blessed, causing a multitude of these dead bones to live. It says there at the end of verse 10, an exceeding great army lived and stood upon their feet. And you know, this amazing miracle, it happened suddenly. It happened swiftly. As Ezekiel spoke and proclaimed the word, it happened swiftly and suddenly. And that was all a testimony to the mighty power of the Lord. And brethren and sisters in Christ, God's power has not changed since the day of Ezekiel. It has not diminished. You think of what the psalmist says about the Lord. In Psalm 89, verse 13, he says, thou hast a mighty arm. Oh, as we go to prayer tonight, let us view the Lord and see the Lord in this, that he has a mighty arm. Job, speaking of the Lord's strength and power, says, lo, he is strong. Job had a vision of the strength and the power of God. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And just look at what the Lord says in verse number 13 of that chapter. Here he really refers and reminds us of the greatness of his power. Isaiah chapter 43 and the verse number 13. He says, yea, before the day was, I am he. He was the eternal one. And there's none, he says, that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? And that little phrase there at the end of verse 13, who shall let it, really means who can turn back the hand of God? The answer is no one. Such is the power of God. He is the great I am. He says, none can deliver out of my hand. I will work. And who shall let it? Who shall prevent it? Who shall stop me from working? Such is the power of God. You see, there's no limit, people, to the power of God. Think of those tremendous words that we read off over in Ephesians chapter number 3 and the verse number 20 as Paul prays there for the Ephesian church. He says, now unto him, that's the Lord, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He is able, dear child of God, to do exceeding abundantly above all that you and I can think or comprehend. Child of God, in light of God's almighty power, in light of his unchanging power, let us earnestly pray for God's blessing upon the ministry of his word from this church, be it the children's work, the youth work, outreach work, the ongoing weekly meetings. Let us pray for the salvation of sinners. Let us pray for the restoration of backsliders. Let us pray for the strengthening of the saints of God. Let us pray for new and young families to be added to the work. God is able to do that. Let us be like Jacob. Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. He held on to God in prayer until he received the blessing of the Lord. The hymn writer says, there shall be showers of blessing. If we but trust and obey, let us be those who trust the Lord. Let us be those who obey the Lord. Let us be those who spread the word of the Lord in whatever way we can. Let us be those who pray, depending upon the Lord. May God bless his word and these few thoughts just to our hearts and our souls this evening. Maybe turn again to our wee hymn sheet, 638 in our own hymn book. And it's a great hymn about revival, encouraging us to pray for revival and seek the Lord for revival. It says, "Visit us, Lord, with revival, stricken with coldness and death. Where is our hope of survival? Save in thy life-giving breath." These bones knew the life-giving breath of God. They stood up a mighty army. You know, God is able to do that in our day and generation again and save precious souls and impart to them life eternal, life more abundant. We'll keep our seats while we sing 638. To our time of prayer. Remember the meetings over the week, the children's meetings, the Sunday school youth fellowship. Pray for God's hand of blessing upon them, the outreach. And remember the services on the Lord's Day. Pray for the gathering in of the people, visitors, unsaved, young and old alike. Remember our brother who had come to testify. Pray for him that he'll know the anointing of God and the guidance of God and all that he would seek to say even on the Lord's Day evening. I do remember, please, the sick in your prayers as well. Do pray for Brother Harry, hospital. Remember him in your prayers and others connected with us who are ill at this time. Just pray that they will know the Lord's touch upon them. Remember our land. Pray for revival. Pray for the restraining hand of God upon this virus. Remember, please, the consider Christ Outreach on this week at the Balmoral Show. Pray for that. There's a team there each day giving out the Word of God and tracts and calendars. Remember also the mission that Colin's involved in up there in Hillsborough. Do remember that as well and pray for that. And of course, our missionaries at home and abroad, do bring them before the Lord in prayer. Sister Gillian has also asked me to mention just there is a need for an extra helper just at the Tresna meeting. So remember that in prayer. Indeed, if anyone can help with that, then just speak to our sister and Gillian about that. But that's really all I want to just set before you. I'm not tying you to those things, whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, but just a few pointers. And as the Lord leads us tonight by His Spirit, let us pour out our hearts before the Lord for blessing and help in the work of God in these days in which we live. We'll just look.